good afternoon, Juneau. A couple of seconds, it'll be 3 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore going to be your host today for Juneau Afternoon. Our lineup of guests today includes Ben Huff, who's teaching digital photography again at the university, just starting with the summer session. So chance to crack out your camera and go down there and learn how to get from an expert in the process. Ken Fix and Antoine Duran will be dropping in to tell us about the benefit showing of Space Trucker Bruce. It's going to benefit the planetarium here in Juneau. So that's tonight. Douglas Fish and Game Building is moving, so we'll get some details on that. And tomorrow is Earth Day, so out at the glacier, there will be lots of activities, and Irene Morris will come in and tell us about that. Right now, it's time for National Native News. Stay tuned for Juneau Afternoon.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Otto, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. The Notaba Gay III Foundation is defending its decision to withdraw support from a celebrity golf tournament last week. As KJZZ's Carrie Young reports, the foundation was one of multiple nonprofits to do so after discovering the title sponsor of the tournament was the Washington, D.C. NFL team's Original Americans Foundation.
Community leaders have criticized organizations for removing their sponsorships from the golf tournament, arguing the focus should have been on the importance of supporting education for Native youth. Clint Begay is a spokesman for the NB3 Foundation. He says foundation leaders stand by their decision.
We're all in support of funding positive things in Indian communities, but when you start associating it with the Washington Redskins, which is something that is just not very positive in Indian country throughout the United States, we just have to stand our ground and stay true to what we're trying to be as far as the NB3 Foundation.
The National Indian Gaming Association also removed their support from the golf event after learning of the Original Americans Foundation's involvement. The sponsorship withdrawals are the latest controversy surrounding the NFL team's foundation. For National Native News, I'm Carrie Young.
Two Tlingit carvings on display at the Yale Peabody Museum are stolen property and should be repatriated to their original owners. That's according to students and scholars at Yale University. The carvings of a bird and a bear were allegedly taken from a Tlingit village in 1899 by Edward Harriman, a railroad man and avid collector who took items from tribes in Alaska that later found homes in museums around the country. However, after the passage of the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, many of the items Harriman acquired and passed on were returned to Alaska. Yale students, professors, and a repatriation manager from the Smithsonian Institution say the carving should be returned to Alaska. In 2012, after prolonged pressure, Yale returned items taken from Machu Picchu in Peru by archaeologist Hiram Bingham. A petition to form a new Santa Fe Indian market has gained over 340 signatures online. Supporters of the petition say it's time for a new Indian market to be created, run by Native Americans. The petition on change.org comes in the wake of Chief Operating Officer John Torres Nez's resignation from the Southwest Association for Indian Arts, or SWIA for short, which puts on the market. However, SWIA says most of its board of directors are Native American and has called the petition an uninformed characterization of the organization. According to the online petition, Torres Nez would become head of the new organization, and he has posted links to the petition on his Facebook page, saying, quote, "Let's do this." Two bills in the House and Senate may push the Montana Little Shell Band of Chippewa Indians from a state-recognized tribe to a federally recognized tribe. The tribe has waited over 30 years to gain federal recognition, and the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs has already approved a bill that would make that happen. If passed, it would be the first federal recognition legislation passed in over 20 years. The bills are sponsored by Montana Senators John Tester and John Walsh. Without passage, the Little Shell Band of Chippewa will likely continue having to wait through the Department of Interior's lengthy recognition process. And finally, Samuel Jesse Smith Sr., a Navajo code talker in World War II, passed away in Albuquerque this week. He was 88 years old. Smith enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps after the bombing of Pearl Harbor with the aim of becoming a pilot, but instead became one of hundreds of Navajo code talkers. Smith returned home after the war, worked for the Navajo Nation, and had 9 children. The Navajo Nation will fly flags at half-mast today. On this day in 1977, American Indian Movement activist Leonard Peltier was convicted of 2 counts of first-degree murder for killing 2 FBI agents. He is currently serving 2 consecutive life terms at the federal prison in Leavenworth, Kansas. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Otto.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org. National Native News is made possible with support from Guest House Anchorage Inn. Wake up with the sun. On the web at guesthousealaska.com. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore hosting Juneau Afternoon today. My first two guests are folks who've been on the show before a couple of times, and it's always exciting to hear from Ben Huff because he teaches really interesting photography courses out at the University of Alaska. And, of course, nobody knows who Katie Bosler is, so we'll do an extensive bibliography and biography on Katie because she's such an unknown in the community.
Well, I could tell you I'm the public relations and marketing director for the University of Alaska Southeast. I usually don't get to say that, so I just...
No, usually you're Katie B and you're playing
yeah, who knows?
Wild music on KRN. In. So,
right.
Yeah, who knows? It's the same person, folks. She doesn't even wear a mask when she does the other roles. So.
Okay. Well, on radio, it can be anybody.
I know. So, Ben, we'll come back to Katie in a moment.
Okay.
She's frantically thumbing her phone to try to get a schedule up there so she can tell us exciting things about classes. Ben, you're teaching digital beginning photography.
We are, yes. The first time that we've taught a photography class or a beginning class during the summer.
So the lighting will be totally strange for your work.
It's actually going to be sort of amazing. We typically teach the photography classes in the evening, so we can get undergrads. We can also get the sort of, for lack of a better term, sort of the unconventional students, the community members. So the evening classes are sort of tough in the spring and the fall because we don't have a lot, if any, light. And the summer course will be a nice opportunity to, with the longer class periods, because it's a truncated time of a shorter semester, it'll be nice to actually get out into the field and make photographs together, which is something we don't typically do, which is a nice opportunity.
So class starts May 20th.
May 20th, correct.
Okay, and runs through June 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So fabulous opportunities for outdoor photography during that period of time.
For sure, yeah. We'll kind of start each day with instruction, kind of a formal lecture setup, and then we'll go out in the field and we'll take what we've learned and make pictures together and make mistakes and fumble around and then come back in and download those photos and view them. It'll be so much more of a real time, I mean, really capitalizing on what's great about digital photography in this class that we don't necessarily have the opportunity to do in the night classes during the spring and fall semester. So it'll be a nice change, actually.
Now, you require a certain level of camera for people who are going to take this course, right?
We do. And for the most part, I've made adjustments a couple times, but the syllabus says a digital SLR, so a single lens reflex camera that we can use in manual mode, that we have an aperture priority, a shutter priority. And there are a few other sort of cameras that are coming onto the market now that still have those capabilities and are still a little bit smaller and sort of that bridge that gap between sort of a pocket point-and-shoot and a full-fledged digital SLR. If anyone has any questions, they can email me or call me. My number's there.
I have this kind of camera, and I'm wondering
if it's okay
for the course.
Yeah, I feel those questions seems every semester, and I just want to ensure that they have the tool that they need to make the pictures that they want to make. But there is some sort of wiggle room because there are some cameras on the market these days that are a little unconventional, but would still work for our purposes for sure.
So now, Ben. This is a course in digital photography,
correct.
And there's really two parts to that. One is getting the image into the camera,
mm-hmm.
and the second part of it is what you do after that point. Are you going to be dealing with that in this course?
We do, absolutely. We deal with post-processing. We'll deal with the tools, Photoshop, in class. We also deal at the end of class with a little bit of printing. So we deal with the digital world and what photos look like and exist on the web and how we can manage those from a file standpoint, how we can do post-processing from an image standpoint, but then also we start talking about, and this sort of leads into the eventual intermediate class that I teach and talk about the difference between the digital world and the print world,
mm-hmm.
and we do at the end of the semester start sort of wading into that a little bit and the differences between the two and why they're different. So it's a fairly broad
a fairly broad class. It's fun.
Yeah. So that course starts on the 20th of May.
Correct.
And it's Ben Huff's beginning digital camera photography. The classes run from 9 in the morning until 2:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's a big day.
Yeah, that's a long day. But in the middle of that, you're probably taking some pictures and doing some other stuff.
Absolutely. Every day, barring, if we have a really wet spring, we'll be out probably in the rain, but for the most part we'll be out and hopefully find some sunny days, and we'll be out in the field making pictures together, and it'll be
outstanding.
Great.
Well, while we were discussing that very interesting course, Katie put her phone down, which means that she's now queued up and is ready to go.
I just want to mention that we're very fortunate to have an adjunct instructor like Ben Huff at the University of Alaska Southeast. Ben does some really exciting and innovative work in his own right as award-winning photographer, been exhibited at the State Museum.
Has indeed.
And so students are very, this is a really great opportunity to work with someone who is really doing some groundbreaking and different kind of work in the world of photography.
Not to mention, he's the only guy I know that's carried an 8x10 view camera up the Hall Road. That's got to be that's a one-off.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. But speaking of truncated courses, there's another new course that's actually just online now. It's not in the printed schedule, and this is a music appreciation course that will be taught by John Darmond, a well-known musician, a longtime resident of Juneau. This will be a 3-week course, and it's 4 days a week. And once you finish this music appreciation course, you'll have your GER, your credit as far as one of those prerequisites that you need to finish in order to get a degree. So this is a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as most summers, we have Northwest Coast art classes. We have basketry with Dolores Churchill. That's always a hit. We have ceramics classes, summer art classes. And we also have a very interesting field course in anthropology.
Indeed. That's
with
a fascinating
Dan Monteith.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you have the information.
Well,
in front
a little
of
bit of
you
it.
About
all
that.
I have is just the fact that basically it starts as an online course, which runs, I think, from May 19th through July 14th.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people who participate in that will then go to the Moose Hill site on the Kvichak River.
Yeah.
And they will engage in an archaeological dig.
Right.
So this is, this is a 400-level, senior-level anthropology course. This thing is like, so some of the people who are on this dig will be anthropology majors. But the really cool thing about this kind of course is they don't turn people away. If you're interested in getting down and working with a brush and a shovel, they will welcome you aboard the crew because they need the labor as much as anything else. And it's a fabulous opportunity to get up close to the anthropological process.
It's one of those great Alaskan opportunities.
Yeah.
Always wanted to be an archaeologist. Well, here's your chance.
Yeah, here's your chance. and what a chance it is. This is an area where some of the oldest remains on the west coast of the United States can be found. So this is truly a great opportunity. So that course runs May 19th through August 25th, but it's in two chunks. And the first one is all online. So it's a daily, probably online meeting or several online meetings a week or something. I don't know the schedule exactly.
But if you're interested in that, you want to contact Dan Monteith, the instructor. And I think
dbmonteith@uasalaska.edu. I think also if you don't want to try to write that down, if you go to the anthropology department page on UAS, that'll get you to him.
Right. Or even if you just click on Explore on our homepage, and then there's a box that comes up where you can just, put in someone's first or last name. You can get their full contact information. So if you just punched in Monteith or Daniel, you'd probably get that information. I also want to let people know that as far as summer courses, if you want to get some of those courses out of the way, there are online and in-classroom English courses, creative writing courses, math, social science. There's quite a few. So I want to also just let people know that there is a very colorful printed schedule that you can find around town. There are piles of them in the libraries around where you get the Capital City Weekly, in cafes. And there's also a really cool course in Puerto Rico.
Oh, really?
There's information. Yeah, the second annual, I think. So there's some really cool opportunities through UAS, like who knew, you know, but you can find that printed schedule in many places around town. Or if you just go online to uas.alaska.edu/schedule, you'll find the summer schedule and the fall schedule for 2014 in case you're going to be a student this semester, this fall, and want to see what's available.
Kitty, I think people have got to be on this because I'm noticing here that your course starts May 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's less than a month away.
Yeah.
And the anthropology course starts on May 19th.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about whoosh, and
right.
You're in the course. So you got to do this now.
It's that time of year where everybody's sort of focused on the next 2 weeks, or at least we are at UAS towards commencement. But then it's, wait a minute, there's something happening right away after that, and that's called summer school.
Uh-huh.
And there's some great opportunities this summer. Ben Huff's photography class, the anthropology class, or just getting those GERs out of the way, and then the music appreciation is kind of a nice new addition. It's called Music 123 with John Darmond.
Yeah. So great opportunities, and to register for these courses, you can either go up on campus, which is always possible, but you can also go online and do the whole thing just by clicking the mouse and bang, you're in class and you're ready to go.
Yeah, and if you have any questions about that, you can always call the Novotny One-Stop Welcome Center at 796-6000, or you can stop on by and just walk up to the desk, and there's a friendly person who can assist you.
Outstanding. University of Alaska Southeast. Katie, Ben, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. One fine spring morning, as you walk near a marsh, you are stopped in your tracks by a loud, reverberating call, with a cadence that seems lifted from an old cartoon soundtrack. You scan the cattails, but it seems this comical sound has an invisible source. Then, after a long moment, into an opening in the cattails walks what looks like a good-sized heron, but with a mottled brown back and bold brown stripes running the length of its very long neck. You are looking at an American bittern, a member of the heron tribe that spends much of its time in the dense cover of the reeds. Bitterns are masters of camouflage. Not only does their striped plumage perfectly imitate surrounding vegetation, but for further concealment, they freeze, holding their heads and necks upward at an angle that mimics the reeds. Have you ever been awestruck by an unusual bird or its surprising behavior? Or experienced a magical moment when a bird did something that left you entranced? Let us know on Facebook or drop us a line. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. And thanks. I'm Mary McCann.
It's 18 and a half minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore hosting the Juneau Afternoon Show today, and I have exciting folks here in the studio, but you don't get to hear them yet. What you get to hear first is this.
Supply lines and
deadlines and too many memories of you.
Supply lines and deadlines, huh? So this is the music that you hear in the midst of Juno's latest entry into the movie world. With me are Ken Fix and Anton Duran, and they're going to tell us about a special showing of Space Trucker Bruce, the movie of the year here in Juneau, I guess. Hi, Anton.
Hi.
Hey, welcome aboard. So you've become, you are producer, director, writer, cleanup man, editor, janitor, and everything else on this film, right?
Pretty much everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, I know the role. It gets kind of exciting when you've got all of those things to do. And Ken, you arranged, I guess, with Antoine to show this thing as a special benefit fundraiser deal for the planetarium, right?
I did. Yes, yeah. It was. I was there when we did the radio interview. I was sitting where you are now, of course, and interviewed Antoine for the movie's original premiere. And I was also there the first night at the Gold Town when they had the 7 o'clock showing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in on it since then, but then the idea came to me, you know, being a long time involved with the planetarium, that, boy, this would be a great thing to show. Because, you know, you're familiar with my retro sci-fi movie schedule. That came about because the planetarium was being underutilized in the summertime. They said, well, you know, pretty much by Memorial Day, nobody does any shows, and then we pick them up again in September. I'm like, why? You got this whole facility here that nobody's using. We should at least keep something going in the summer to keep interest at the planetarium. So my idea was the retro sci-fi movie schedule, which of course will run again this summer. But this is a very special showing of Anton's film, and that's out of his generosity. We're going to use the money to benefit the Marie Drake Planetarium. Also, the concession sales tonight, too, will also benefit the planetarium.
Time to show start.
At 7 p.m.
7 p.m. at the planetarium tonight. Okay, one-time show.
One-time showing, right. Yes, 7 o'clock. Anton's going to talk a little bit about the movie before we actually get it rolling, but it runs 87 minutes, I believe, so it should be over with by 8:30, quarter to 9 at the latest, I would think.
He's going to talk a little bit about the movie right now.
Yes, I'm going to let him take it.
So first, what possibly caused you to want to write a movie about a space trucker?
Well, I've always enjoyed science fiction, and my friend Carl Sears, who plays Bruce in the movie, we were talking one night, and he was talking about how he wanted to make a movie about asteroid miners, and somehow, and I don't really know how, I turned this into a space trucker, and then I got inspired, and I wrote Space Trucker Bruce, but I've always been interested in science fiction, so I knew I moved to Juneau in 2005, and some of my friends were part of the local Jump Film Festival. They were making movies for it, and I thought, wow, I want to do that. I'd made some videos in high school, but I quit doing that to go pursue a engineering career. And when I came back to Juneau, this festival was here, and my friends were actively involved in it, and I thought, I'm going to do this. And so I helped them out with some of their projects, and then I wanted to do my own, and that's when I started talking to Carl and when this came about. But I realized early on that the 10-minute short film limit for Jump just was not going to work for
medium.
Me. It wasn't going to work for me. I really wanted to make a full-length movie, so I wrote Space Trucker Bruce, and that's how it came about.
How long did it take you from the time when you actually had a script in your hand to the point where you were on screen?
I started writing it in 2007, and then I had to pause because I had a heating system issue with my house, and so I had to go work on that. But I came back to it in 2008, so from script until filming, I kind of cheated a little bit because I wrote the story out, and then there were some scenes I knew I could film because I knew I was going to do them. And so summer of 2008, we started filming. And I filmed the scenes that I knew were going to be in the movie, even though the script wasn't completely finished yet. And actually, I kept changing and adding to the script all the way through 2011 when I finished with the principal photography.
So, did you shoot it around here?
I did.
You constructed a spaceship in your backyard, right?
All the sets are built in my house and in my backyard. I had a 35-foot-long hallway that I built in my backyard because it wouldn't fit in the house. The rest of the seven other...
Not all of us have a 35-foot-long hallway in the house.
No, there was no way that was going to fit. All the other sets, there are seven other sets, and they're all built in my house. And what I would do is I would spend about 3 or 4 months building a set, and then I would invite the actors in, and we would film for... on weekends for 2 or 3 months, depending on how much was in that particular set. Then I would tear it down and repeat the process. And this took 3 years. I started doing that fall of 2008, and then I ended with the final set in 2011.
I should have your wife in here. She'd be a great addition to this interview.
My question is, how did you keep the continuity going as far as people's appearances? For the, you know, you have 3 years between certain scenes.
Yes.
You know, people's appearances change, haircuts change and everything. And while I was watching it, I didn't notice that there was a whole lot of continuity issue at all.
I lost about 15 pounds during the course of the filming. So some of the shots, and it's filmed out of order. So I think that helps a little bit, because the first shot you see of Bruce sitting in the ship was one of the last shots that we filmed. And so it's... They bounce around a bit. The shots in the shuttle were that was the first set that I built, and so it kind of goes like that, where it's out of order, so I think you don't really notice. But also, Carl was very cooperative in keeping his beard the same, trimmed the same way, and he wears a hat, so you don't notice the differences in hair length that would happen.
Until they started putting those things in the backs of DVDs and videos that gave away the fact that you shoot a movie out of sequence, a lot of people didn't understand that, I don't think. But all films are essentially shot. You know, when you move a party to Australia to shoot part of a film, you shoot all of the parts of the film that have to happen in Australia while you're there.
Yes.
Because you know, it's really hard to fake Australia in the background when you're in Los Angeles. It's a tough process. So... Every film, I think, of any size is shot not in a sequence like that, but in a set of takes.
You break down the script based on location and some other factors, and then you try to film. What I try to do is I try to film in each location, and what it's out of sequence, because you may start in a location and then come back to it in the beginning and come back to it in the middle or maybe the end, and so you're having to... You don't want to get your crew and your gear and get that location all set up and only film 10 seconds and then come back to it 2 or 3 times. You know, filming in sequence just wouldn't really work.
Yeah. So, Antoine, I guess my last question about the film is, it's shown now at the Gold Town, and it's going to show tonight.
Yes.
at the planetarium.
Yes.
So when's the network picking up your option, dude? I mean, when does this thing go national?
Well, it is going to be in a festival. I can't say which one at this point, but
okay.
It's been accepted into a festival that will show next month. And right now it's on Amazon. So you can do a search for Space Trucker Bruce, and it's there. It's also on...
So you can watch it at home?
You can watch it at home. You can order the DVD if you want.
Is it Prime eligible?
Well, for the shipping for the DVD, it is.
Okay.
I haven't added it to Amazon Prime yet.
Uh-huh.
It's only $1.99 though to rent, so it's, you
know. Hey, that's well within reason. Well within
plus
reason.
Plus, he will have
but
copies
do
for
not
sale.
Rent this film tonight.
Yes.
Instead,
it is
instead it's going to be projected onto the Stardome, and the audio is going to be run through our sound system at the planetarium. And we do have padded chairs, which are somewhat comfy. There's about 44 of them, I believe. But also, like our summer primetime movie schedule, you're welcome to bring a blanket, your own lawn chairs, whatever you want. My whole objective here is to fill the planetarium up with people tonight. This will be a really good show.
I wanted to make sure we got the time in, but Antoine had something else to say about
yes,
the film.
Yes, it is much, much more enjoyable. I mean, it's very enjoyable no matter how you watch it, and you should watch it every way you can. But to watch it with a group of people in a dark theater with it projected on the big screen is the best way to watch it.
It's the very best way. And tonight is a really unique opportunity for doing that. And the money that you pay to get into the film goes straight into the coffers of our absolutely outstanding planetarium.
Yes, $5 admission, and any sales that we get off the concessions, that all is going to the planetarium as well.
Okay, so Space Trucker Bruce tonight, 7 o'clock.
7 p.m. to 8:30
at the planetarium. So get out there, do this thing, folks. It's well worth it, and you will have a fabulous time.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 18th of April, 2014. It's the birthday of the man who inspired the word beatnik in the 1950s, the poet Bob Kaufman, born New Orleans, 1925, Roman Catholic mother, German Jewish father. Not much is known about his life. He didn't keep a diary, didn't save letters. He wrote 3 volumes of poetry, but he preferred to recite his poems in coffee houses rather than write them down. He spent 20 years in the merchant marine, circled the globe 9 times, survived 4 shipwrecks, and was out at sea when he first read about the beat poets, many of whom also had been seamen. Gary Snyder had, Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg. When Kaufman was back on land, he went to New York City. He met William S. Burroughs and Ginsberg. The 3 of them moved to San Francisco, where Kaufman liked to perform poetry, shouting it, improvising spontaneously on the street, for which he was arrested many, many times in 1959. And the columnist Herb Kane, who coined the word beatnik, said that he had Kaufman in mind. Bob Kaufman, who said, "I want to be anonymous. My ambition is to be completely forgotten." It was on this day, 1958, the U.S. government dropped its treason charges against the poet Ezra Pound, and he was released from St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital in Washington, where he'd been held for almost 13 years for having made radio speeches from Rome during World War II, praising Mussolini and the fascists and blaming the war on the Jews. Ezra Pound was 72. He had been visited during those 13 years by an odd combination of white supremacists who liked his politics and distinguished American writers who admired his poetry or his history of generosity to other writers, including Robert Frost, who testified in his behalf and said, "None of us can bear the disgrace of our letting Ezra Pound come to his end where he is. It would leave too woeful a story in American literature." Here's a poem for today by Jim Harrison, entitled Searchers. At dawn, Warren is on my bed, a ragged lump of fur, listening to the birds, as if deciding whether or not to catch one. He has an old man's mimsy delusion. A rabbit runs across the yard, and he walks after it, thinking he might close the widening distance, just as when I followed a lovely woman on Boulevard Montparnasse, but couldn't equal her rapid pace, the click-click of her shoes moving into the distance, turning the final corner. But when I turned the corner, she had disappeared, and I looked up into the trees, thinking she might have climbed one. When I was young, a country girl would climb a tree and throw apples down at my upturned face. Warren and I are both searchers. He's looking for his dead sister Shirley, and I'm wondering about my brother John, who left the earth on this voyage all living creatures take. Both cat and man are bathed in pleasant insignificance, their eyes fixed on birds and stars. Searchers, a poem by Jim Harrison from his collection Saving Daylight, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to, thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. And by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., but it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early when treatment works best. If you're 50 or older, talk with your doctor. Decide which screening test is right for you, and please get screened for colorectal cancer. This message is brought to you by Search, your partner in health.
25 minutes before 4 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore hosting Juneau Afternoon today. My next two guests are here to tell us about something that's going to change a big part of your life if you're a hunter or a fisherman, because you know where you go to get all those permits? It ain't there. And it won't be for several months. So with me here are Daniel Teske and Stephanie Sell, and they both work with the Department of Fish and Game. And it turns out that the Douglas Fish and Game building is closing for renovation for how long?
It should be roughly 18 months.
That's a year and a half.
Yep.
In anybody's book. So, Stephanie, you're going to have a different commute, I take it.
A little bit. I'll shave about a mile off my drive time.
But oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's still a commute nonetheless.
So what do you do with Fish and Game?
I'm the assistant area management biologist for wildlife. So I assist Ryan Scott with a lot of the wildlife issues that happen here in town in northern southeast Alaska.
Okay, and Daniel, your role?
I work for the sport fish division as the area management biologist, dealing with a lot of sport fishing regulations and things like that, and issuing licenses and charter logbooks and things like that. So,
buying a house out on Douglas was a real mistake.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do? I mean, what all moves and like that? And
so
where are you going to be
for this particular location transition? Next week, we are going to start moving the public service counters from the Douglas Island building over to the Bill Ray Center, and the Bill Ray Center is located at 1008 F Street. It's directly across from the Gold Belt building.
For years, the University of Alaska Southeast has had its nursing classes and things like that. Extension offices,
yep,
there,
UAF,
are they going to be
cooperative
staying?
Extension. No, those guys are going to be relocated during this transition period.
So you're taking over the whole building?
We are.
Yeah, we are
taking over the whole building.
Well, you'll have to book extra time for that elevator in that building.
Yeah, it could be a little bit busy.
There'll be a line.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is for 18 months.
It is, yeah. And what we wanted to do, we just kind of wanted to get the message out so that the public will know that starting next week, our public service counters are going to start transitioning over to the Bill Ray Center. And as during that transition time, we will still be able to provide public service at the Douglas building next week. It's just going to be, there's going to be some movers and some things happening. But if you need to get licenses, logbooks, permits, anything you need to get done through Fish and Game, we'll still be able to do that at the Douglas Island building next week. And then Monday, the 28th, we should be all set up and ready to go at the Bill Ray Center.
Okay, so after Monday, the 28th, if you need any of those services, then you go to the Bill Ray Center. What about the parking situation? That was a UAS parking lot out there across the street that had a gate that dropped down on it. You going to have that?
Yeah, the staff will be issued parking permits, and there will be some designated visitor parking there across the main entrance. For public services, the public service counter will be located right inside the main entrance to the left. And that's the entrance off of F Street there. So.
And I've heard that there's going to be a temporary Fish and Game sign that's going to be on the outside of the building, too, so that should help orient people to the right place. One thing I want to add about the hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses, those can all be purchased online as well. And for all those hunters out there, all the hunting permits and the big game locking tags, if they need those can be got online as well. So we would encourage people during this transition period for the hunting side of things to maybe get some of those things online, but we will still have all those resources available at the Douglas Island building.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what can't you do online? What would be a typical or like?
Right. So we were just talking a little bit earlier. If anybody wants to go and get a proxy permit, that's something that you would have to come into the office and get, because we need signatures for that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a permanent hunting license for all those people that have successfully made it to 60 years of age or older, you can get those at the headquarters office right away, or you can come into the Bilray Center once we're in there and fill out that application as well.
And then pick it up a couple of days.
Yeah, later. Pretty much everything else hunting-wise you can get online.
Okay.
So. I should also mention, too, from the commercial fishery side of things, if folks want to come in and get some subsistence permits or personal use permits and things like that, all that services will be provided at the Bilray Center, and those you have to do in person to get those special permits.
So basically, if you have to sign a form, then you're going to need to go to the Bilray Center after the 28th.
Monday the 28th will be all set up over there. That's correct. Sport fishing licenses and things like that, we also offer those online as well, so folks can purchase those online. And if you do have any questions, we have a few phone numbers here that we can let people know. If you have any questions about sport fishing side of things and the public services provided there, the Division of Sport Fish number is 465-4270. Commercial fisheries, if you have any questions there regarding openings and announcements or personal use or subsistence questions, that number is 465-4250. And then, of course, the Wildlife Conservation Office at 465-4265. So if you have any questions regarding any of those public services related to those divisions, go ahead and give a call.
Good enough.
And if I could add one more thing, too, with that parking lot, we, for all the bear hunters that are out this spring, we're going to have our bear sealing tent set up in that parking lot that's across the street from Bilray Center, so right behind that Tesoro gas station. So we'll be there to seal bears just normally, just in a different location. And for sealing furs during the winter trapping season, that's going to happen just how that it has in the past at the Douglas Island building, just at a new location at the Bilray Center. So all that stuff will still happen, just across the bridge.
So 18 months from April 28th, you will be in your new headquarters. What else changes when you get back over on Douglas?
I'm not sure about that whole aspect. It's a rough timeline at this point, the 18-month construction phase. And if people have questions about that, they can contact the General Services. They're kind of in charge of the whole construction phase and all that. So I don't have that contact number, General Services.
The big question I'm wondering is, will you be consolidating the offices that are on this side of the bridge with the ones over in Douglas?
Nope, it'll be all the folks that are housed there right now will just go move back in.
Yep. Okay, in 18 months. Okay, all right. So fish and game, lots of permitting processes and things like that. Next week you can do it in both locations, or over in Douglas, I guess, is the last week you can do that. And then April 28th, everything moves across the bridge. It's all over at Bilray Center. Park across the F Street there, probably in that lot, and follow the signs, and the service counters that you would normally go to Douglas for will be located on this side of the bridge for about a year and a half.
Correct.
That's correct. And I just want to make one more plug here for people to mark their calendars. I just want to make everybody aware of the family fishing day at the lake. That will be Saturday, June 7th from 10 to 3. So family fishing day at Twin Lakes, Saturday, June 7th.
All right. That is always a wonderful opportunity for you to bring your kids out and get a fishing rod in your hands. Sometimes for the first time. Yeah. The kids really love it.
I'm Richard Irwin, Chairman of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. In Alaska, we're moving from awareness to action. The state's Choose Respect initiative, the council's work, and the dedication of victim service providers throughout Alaska are making a difference. Learn more. Get involved. Violence isn't the solution. Respect is always the right choice.
Tonight on 360 North, at 8 o'clock, Forum at 360 host Jeremy Shea talks with the three funny men behind the Alaska Robotics label, with highlights from their satirical political news videos. Then at 9, Valentino's Ghost takes viewers on a chronological journey through more than a century of media images of Muslims, Arabs, and Islam in the U.S. Gavel Alaska's legislative coverage is back at 10. All tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Summertime, hot and hazy, loose and lazy, summertime, lying on the ground. Everything that's green is growing. Everybody's lawn needs mowing. Whoops, a leaf comes tumbling down. Mother Earth's about to change her gown. She loves to change her seasons. It's Mother Earth's routine. Green to brown, brown to white, white back into green. She changes clothes and puts on something clean. Autumn time, days get cool, it's back to school, it's autumn time. The world turns golden brown. Birds are starting their migration, flying southward on vacation. Whoops, a snowflake hits your nose. Mother Earth's about to change her clothes. She loves to change her season. It's Mother Earth's routine. Green to brown, brown to white. Winter time, it's skates and sleds and feather beds, it's winter time. Snow is all around, frosty nose and ears a-throbbing. Then one day, hey look, a robin pulls a worm out of the ground. Mother Earth's about to change her gown. And she has reasons for changing seasons. You have to change to grow. You have to change to grow. And so she changes seasons. It's Mother Earth's routine. Green to brown, brown to white, white back into green. She changes clothes and puts on something green.
It's 13 minutes to 4, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Here is Lauren.
Looking for the last-minute items for the Easter bunch on Saturday, or unique items for a little person Easter basket. Come to the Nugget Mall this Saturday between 10 to 2. And two, for homemade candy, banana bread, brownies, and cake. Girl Scout Troop 4006 is having a bake sale to raise funds to help cover costs for the upcoming adventures. The troop will be donating 50% of the bake sale proceeds to the Nature Conservancy to replace the windows in their Anchorage office to more energy-efficient ones. To stop by the bake sale tomorrow between 10 to 2 at the Nugget Mall and help out the next leaders of Alaska.
Now, that is Lauren, who is just absolutely beautiful in her Troop 4006 vest and her Girl Scout cap. And she just got drafted into being a radio talent. And I think you have a career. I think you are pretty good. Yeah. So her mom came in with her and is kind of helping her out here and like that. So, Lauren, thank you so much for telling us all about that event.
Welcome.
They pulled into the driveway like a frigate dropping sail, and out came Butch and Mike and Bill and Ben and Baby Gail. Uncle Hugh looked hassled, but Aunt Bess was all aglow. Hello!
Hi!
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 Yo!
Cousins, cousins, here come the boys. Bedlam, mayhem, noise, noise, noise. Blow up the air mattresses, hide the breakable toys. Cousins, cousins, here come the boys.
guards all quiet and discreet, till Mikey peeked at Billy's hand, and Billy said,
"You cheat! I don't do! Did not! You did!"
Then we heard Grandpa say,
"Well, we're playing all this Earth music for a very specific reason, and that is because tomorrow, Saturday, April 19th, from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock out at the Glacier Visitor Center, we will be celebrating Earth Day for about the, 50th time or something like that. I guess it's the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act,
the
at
Wilderness
least.
Act,
yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So Irene Morris is here. The first time I ever met Irene, she was very stern with me because I had just parked my bus in the wrong place when I was doing a little tour bus driving this last summer. But anyway, Irene turns out to be a fabulous addition to the staff out at the Glacier, and you're here to tell us about all of the things that we're going to be able to do tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite day of the year.
Yeah.
And we're back at the Glacier this year. We had a little absence from it last year. We're back at the Glacier. And this year, it's really great. We're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, which was signed on September 3rd, 1964. And all year long, Juneau is having special events. So the Earth Day is one of them. We'll have our usual festivities out there. It's going to start up around 11 o'clock. Kevin Hood, who is a U.S. Forest Service Wilderness Ranger, will be introducing Earth Day this year, and he'll give us a little rundown about how important the Wilderness Act is here. We will also have the Forest Service Wilderness Rangers will be on hand there, too, at one of the tables, to if you're real interested in what the Wilderness Act is all about and while we're celebrating it. Meanwhile, we have a whole slew of entertainment all day. At noon, Heartstrings will be playing. At 1 o'clock, Noodle of Doom drummers will be playing. At 2 o'clock, All Nations Children's dancers. And at 2:30, the Daughters of the New Moon will be back again. All of this is going on, and we also will be having a special viewing of a movie, which is called The Meaning of Wild. It's a documentary film featuring wild landscapes throughout the Tongass National Forest. That will be shown in the auditorium at 11:30, 12:30, and 1:30. So there's lots to do there. Of course, we have our usual long list of wonderful groups in Juneau that all participate, bringing their special talents and special interests, and give us all a chance to actually do something about this earth that we live in. We can join a group and further their cause and further our own participation. Before I go into the groups that are going to be here, I wanted to also mention that this year Saga won't be at Earth Day at the Glacier this year, because on Tuesday, which is the real Earth Day, August or April 22nd, they will be holding a work day out at Auk Rec. They're going to be not only asking for volunteers to help clean up the Auk Rec area, it's also in conjunction with the Forest Service, but they'll also be doing some other work on the area that we love to go and enjoy out there. And so if you are interested in volunteering, you can sign up at Earth Day tomorrow. We'll have a table there to sign up volunteers that will be coming out on Tuesday. That work party will be, I believe, from noon to 5 at Auk Rec, but you can sign up and learn more about it tomorrow. So some of the groups that are going to be showing up are Alaska Wildlife Alliance. They'll probably be having a lot of information on our Alaska wildlife, and there'll be children's activities. The Friends of Recycling will be there. Get a lot of information. If you aren't recycling already, you should be, and you can learn out how. Sea Alaska Land Trust will be there. And SEAC will be back. The Juneau Youth for Environmental Action will be there. Central Council Tlingit Haida. The Wilderness Rangers I mentioned. Juneau Urban Forestry Project will be back, telling you all about the trees. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability will be coming out. And if you are interested in electric cars and have thought about maybe getting one, they're going to have some samples out there. They'll be outside in front of the kiosk. They also have some information about the future of possible plug-in stations here in Juneau. So if you're interested, you can come out and talk to those folks there and take a look at some of the cars. Alaska Department of Fish and Game will also be representing themselves with some really nice children's activities there. Audubon will be having a bird walk at 1 o'clock. Brenda Wright will be leading it, so that's going to be real fun. I was checking out the bird walk area yesterday, and I heard a lot of varied thrush, ruby-crowned kinglets, and even an American dipper down in the stream. Mm. So they're out there. The birds are out there, and it's spring. Juno Raptor Center will be there with at least 2 different birds, so maybe 3. So you might want to come out and take a gander at our birds out there again. And also the Friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. And we have one addition to Discovery Southeast will be out there, too. So we have lots of things to do. One person I didn't mention in the list is one of my favorite people who shows up at Earth Day with all kinds of new, two very innovative people. Bill Leedy will be there. He has been here in the past with all kinds of alternative energy ideas, and I can't wait to see what he has tomorrow. I did get a chance to talk to Dick Callahan, who also shows up every once in a while with some very interesting ideas. This year he's bringing a rocket stove. And I had to ask, what's a rocket stove? And it's a stove that he has been making them out of cans. He is going to bring at least 1 or 2 of them out, and he'll have them outside working. He just explained to me that he has a little stove that he made out of probably a number 10 can, about a gallon-sized can, that can heat up 2 cups of water in 5 minutes using very little wood. And apparently the reason they started making these was to pretty much save the forest because of the deforestation. But, of course, when fuel prices went up, they became a little bit more important to have. And he's mentioned what a great thing they would be to have in an area that might have had a natural disaster and you needed heat. And so you need to come out and take a look at Dick's stove tomorrow. So I guess that's about runs it down, the whole list of everything we have.
Irene, this is a heck of an event.
It's so fun. Anna, it couldn't do it without all the wonderful people in Juneau. This is really, it's easy for me. I just coordinate them. They do all the work. So
it begins at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
And it'll probably be over sometime
Around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, 3-ish or so, yeah.
Yes.
So 11 to 3, we might
have some wonderful giveaways there. There's this gorgeous poster that's been printed out for the Alaska Wilderness Act birthday, and we'll be giving a few of those out and maybe some other things. There might be some giveaways, too.
The other thing is that people probably don't know that you have a new mural up in the Visitor Center.
Oh, we have a new display.
You've changed your display.
Yes,
and so
we have a display.
It's like a new place almost entirely.
Every year we've been getting a little bit new things. So.
Yeah, so this one that you have now is related to the fish and trees theme of a recent publication.
We've had
the author on the show here.
Amy Gulick wrote a great book called Sam in the Trees, which is basically what we talk about. As soon as the salmon come there, we got salmon, and everything you look around a salmon stream has a little bit of everything that you look around a salmon stream has salmon DNA in it. Amy was great, has a Ray Troll mural behind it.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful addition. Earth Day is not only a time to think about what we need to do to take care of our Earth, to also celebrate the fact that we live on this beautiful planet, that every day, especially living up here in Alaska, it's just a wonderful place to wake up to. But it's also a time for me that I would like everyone to really take a look at some of these wonderful organizations in town. You don't have to just sit there and say, oh, they do great work. You can do it. You can be a part of it. And that way you can do it 365 days of the year just by joining up with one of these wonderful organizations.
Earth Day at the Glacier Visitor Center starting tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Irene Morris, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all you do out there at the center as well.
Thank you.
At this same time on Monday, Joan Pardis will be hosting Juneau Afternoon. She's going to have guests, including Dr. Joni Homeyer Hope. They're going to be screening a new film called No Evidence of Disease, and she'll tell you about that. Upcoming Audubon cruises. Carl Stennett will be here. Details of the upcoming parent-child workshops. And Kristen Mabry will be dropping in to talk about summer wellness. So stay tuned to KTOO all the time, but be sure you're listening at 3 o'clock on Monday for Joan Pardis' Juneau Afternoon. This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org, and support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Knight Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and thank you very much for your donations and memberships, listeners like you.